For the thousands in attendance and the millions watching around the world.
This is the main event.
Dildo Corn is alive
and kicking.
Come on over here, I'll headbutt your ass a couple times if you know what I'm saying.
This brother breaking off a 40-yard run. This brother,
come on, zip it.
I hope I didn't piss off Jesus.
You call that a penalty?
Who's number one?
It's the LA Clippers.
Boom! Shut up! You're saying it wrong, people.
I would get her pregnant.
That
just called in and hangs up, you motherfucker. That fucking pissed me off.
Ari, are you in the shower now?
Totally in the shower.
Yeah, dude.
He's not a cokehead.
You mean James?
Stupid idiot.
You're a stupid idiot for getting so fucking uptight over fucking nothing.
You're clearly lying.
You're clearly just
lying. Why would I lie?
For attention.
Why would I lie?
What?
I don't need attention.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't. You're a comic. And welcome to Punch Drunk, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. We really appreciate everybody listening. We know you could listen to millions of other podcasts, and you take a little time to hang out with us. We're going to get into last week's episode in a couple minutes, but I just want to joining us in studio is a very good friend of ours. He's got a show on Logo, a sketch comedy show. You saw him on Survivor, and one of the sweethearts of comedy, Bill Posley, everybody.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate you guys.
You got a little Asian right out the gate. That was very well. Thank you so much.
I appreciate it. I've been wanting to do this show so bad, man. I love talking about sports, and I feel like not so much in the stand-up community, but like in the I do a lot of sketch improv. In the sketch improv community, nobody gives a fuck.
Yeah, they should call improv beta males being funny. That's what you would call. But real quick, before we get into anything, let's give a shout out to people who pay the bills. Of course, we got BetDSI, BetDSI.com, and BetDSI.DU. A lot of great sporting events coming up. We got Anderson Silva versus Michael Bisping coming up on Fight Pass. NBA's heating up. So go to BetDSI.com, use Punch Drunk, get $10 betting cash. It takes a little while to get on there. Also, Caveman Coffee. Gotta love that Caveman Coffee. Go to CavemanCoffee.com, use Punch Drunk Sports, use our what's that called?
Use our code?
Promo code, excuse me, and get 10% off. Go to PunchDrunkSports.com, use our Amazon links, buy all your shit on our links and help us out. Help us help you. And of course, we want to get to the thing that we're all very excited about. We're doing UFC 196.
And my, how it's changed.
Rabble.tv. Conor McGregor versus somebody. Holly Holm versus Miesha Tate. We're doing a live Rabble on Rabble.tv. If you go to punchdrunksports.com, you'll see the banner. Click the banner. We'll take you right to where we're going to be. And I'm proud to announce that Jeff Danis and Ryan O'Neal are going to do the show with us.
That's going to be amazing.
Yeah, if you love the show, you love the call-ins, you know Jeff and Jeff Danis and Ryan O'Neal. So it should be an extraordinarily awesome show. So go check that all out. Jason, where are you going to be? Got any good shows coming up?
This Wednesday, I'll be at the Melrose Improv doing Comedy Juice.
Oh, awesome.
That'll be a fun one.
You're in the mix.
I'm in the mix with that. He booked me for this in 2013.
Yep, that's how it happens.
That's pretty much how it happens.
That's comedy.
I was like, if I'm still doing comedy, then I'll be glad to do it. And you know what? Lo and behold, here I am. Friday, I'll be at the Comedy Store. And Sunday, I'll be at the Comedy Store doing Kyle Ray's storytelling show thing he's doing. And I'm going to do the story that I told on your podcast, the 50 Shades of Macy Gray.
I love that.
Which is a funny story. So Sunday, come to the Comedy Store. Free show if you want to see that. Wednesday, hit me up if you want to go to the Melrose Improv and watch a murder. Because I'm going to murder. What about you, kind sir?
You got any fun things coming up?
Yeah. At IOS, the first Sunday of every month, I perform with a main stage team called DJ Fawcett. It is a brand new sketch show every month that we end up doing. I also host a stand-up improv show called Palapalooza.
Which I love.
Yes. Yeah, at
great
the Nerdist.
Fun for the whole family.
Fun for the whole family. That is every Sunday, 10 p.m., and we get great comics, these two included, and myself. get to do a mashup of stand-up and improv. So a stand-up comic does stand-up, and then the improv team improvises off the stand-up's material. So it's just been a beautiful marriage of two forms that should never be on the same stage together.
Sweet. Anything else?
Yeah, as Sam said, I'm on a new sketch show for Logo. Go to logo.com, and please, catch up, watch all the sketches individually or watch the whole, shows together. Like, let people know so that way we can,
get
the network
will
let us keep doing it.
Yeah, all right. Right. I will be at the La Jolla Comedy Store this weekend with Daryl LaMontre and John Huck. Come on out. Should be good. Very excited. Just recorded my CD, so I'm working on that. And I'll get you some more dates as they come up. And, of course, the big exciting news is that Ari Shaffir's This Is Not Happening premieres Season 2 tonight on Comedy Central. Check your local listings. I believe it's at... It's after at midnight, so check it out. It's at 12:30. I don't know who's on tonight, but the season is all my favorite people. So I'm very excited. So go check out. Support us, supporting you, supporting us. So let's get into sports. A lot of good stuff.
What about Ari breaking his foot?
Dude, when
I heard last week when he was on, and he's like, yeah, I had to quit skiing. He was skiing in Canada. He's like, I had to quit skiing because I hit a hill, and then I landed on another hill and fucked my foot up. I think I twisted my ankle. 2 days later, there he is on Instagram in a cast, foot broken.
Yeah. Well, when you're that unathletic, it's like you can ski at Ari's age when you've been skiing since you were a kid.
100%. He's a good skier, though. He's skied a lot. He's not like the second time.
Yeah, but he's unathletic.
What about also missing a toe?
That is true.
Oh, he is missing a toe? Yeah,
that's official. He's missing a toe.
I thought that was a big rumor out there.
Why are you skiing in Canada? Do they have the same regulations?
I don't know. Apparently not.
What?
Why regulations? Are there skiing regulations?
Well, I feel like if you jump off of one hill, there shouldn't be another hill that close.
Oh, yeah, they do that because you see it in the Olympics. They'll do like where they... I don't know what that's called.
I think that's what it's called.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's called the foo-foo-foo.
Yeah, yeah. Right. My buddy won the gold in the foo-foo-foo.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Special Olympics, but it's same shit.
Guys, if you want to talk Ari Shaffir skiing, call in right now to 323-282-7424. Let's get into the UFC. Oh, what?
We have a character.
Oh, hi. Somebody's calling in?
Yeah, okay.
Hello. You're on Punch Drunk with Bill Posley.
Hi, this is Richard LeClaire, Canada Ski Patrol. I want to talk about my harrowing experience with Ari Shaffir.
I would love to hear that. Now, what? Are you a ski patrol? So did you rescue him?
I came upon a fallen Jew. He was weeping.
Of course he was.
They're always weeping, those Jews.
They sure are.
He was in the fetal position, holding his ankle, yelling, please, God, let me live through this. I want to see my TV show, season 2.
Well.
Wow. Can you describe the conditions in which the crash happened? Because there's kind of some, we don't know the exact facts, based on people who never go in the cold, which is too drug addicts and a black guy, the only scheme we do is with cocaine, right? So we don't really know how the bumps work, how the goes.
Well, it was, I'll say this, it was an icy day on the bunny hill.
Oh, it's the bunny
hill. The bunny, I do know what that is.
That's with the children, right?
Yeah, Ari was, I think he's not supposed to be around them, but he does go on the bunny hill most of the time.
Are most of the guys?
He was eating candy, and he took a bump wrong, and the next thing you know, he's on the ground.
Now, do you often drug test people who crash? Is that a big thing to do? You know, like, because you ever been at work, like a job, and like you fuck up, they instantly drug test you? Like in Vegas, if you work at a casino,
No, but thank God, because any job I've had, there's probably been, bare minimum, pot involved.
What? How many of all the jobs you've had, Tebow, what percentage would you say you weren't high at?
Like ever?
Yeah.
Like last couple seasons of Red Zone, but I've been on that show for 11 years, and there's definitely been Red Zone days where I was
weed?
Red-eyed.
Red Hyde?
Either hungover or stone.
Coked out of your skull?
No, never. I've never done blow at any jobs, but maybe.
I've never done blow at work, unless you count stand-up.
No, but stone for sure.
Let me ask you something about this Ari crash. You did in Canada. Did you get some of that sweet health care?
He did reap the benefits of our health care. I will say this. When I was rescuing him, he yep. was begging for his life and said that he would suck my dick if I got him safely back. So I am calling to collect on that. Can I get a number or an email contact?
I'll give you his phone number right now. It's 323-555-3837, and that's Ari Shaffir's personal number.
Listen, get in line. He owes me a dick sucking, too. He lost a bet to me.
He doesn't owe me one, but I'll take one. Yeah, what about you?
I mean, I thought he was notorious for him. He couldn't pay for his groceries at a Pavilions.
Right?
Yeah. He owes a dick suck there.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, there's a couple of officers in both, I think, Santa Monica and North Hollywood that he owes one to.
Wow.
Yeah, this guy's just power sucking all over the place.
He's got a lot of fucking pounders to mouth.
It's his go-to offer.
The best part is he lets you punch him in the mouth so you can knock out a couple teeth, and then he just power sucks.
Now, what I understand is, what I'm gathering from this, is you found him in a fetal position on the side of a mountain, crying, begging for his life. He offers to suck your cock to nurse him back to health, and all this over what he thought was merely a sprained ankle? No blood, no bones sticking out, no fucking compound fracture or anything, just a sprained ankle, and he's talking about sucking your dick and thought he was going to die?
He was worried about being exposed to the elements, and I guess he's missing a toe on that foot, so
yep.
he's really been through it. And, yeah, he was weeping. He said, I'll suck your dick. I'll put you on my show. This is not happening.
Wow.
I'll eat your ass.
Jesus Christ.
$100,000. Please, save my life. I need to live.
Let me ask you something. What were the taunts that the children were heaving at him as he sat there crying? What were some of the fun taunts that Canadian toddlers were saying to the fallen Jew?
Great question.
When I found him, there was a group of fat kids throwing snowballs at him, which did, I think, lead to the I'll suck your dick. He really needed to get out of there. He was in a precarious situation.
Uh-huh.
Some of them had brought, you know, things like batteries, and they were putting them inside the
Jesus.
Snowballs for extra pain.
They must have been ready for that.
Extra pain.
There's always an American Jew who goes up to Canada, thinks that he can handle the terrain up there,
yeah.
and ends up injuring himself.
Yeah.
So I believe it's got to be just par for the course for fat kids up
there.
Do the
Canadian kids go, today's the day?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, they see him coming. They see him coming from a mile away. As soon as the skis are rented, somebody's alerted.
There's going to be a hurt you.
It's an epidemic on the mountain. These kids aren't even wearing skis or equipment. They're paying the pass, and they just come in here, and they're preying on people like this good man, Ari Shaffir, and they really make them pay the price.
With a pocket full of batteries.
That is so funny, dude. That is so funny, dude. So funny. The kids don't even play. Now, let me ask you something. I don't know how well you know Ari, but would you say a lot of this crash had a lot to do with the wind resistance of his nose? Like, if you look the wrong way, you got a sail.
He can go flying outside of a goddamn mountain.
He might get air. Any word on that?
I can't speak to that, but he did pass out from the pain at one point, and it's just customary. We do a full physical, so we did take his clothes off, and we saw that he's very bottom heavy, below the waist. He has very large testicles.
Yes, he does.
And we think that may have contributed to this crash.
Low center of gravity.
Well, it's one big nut. It's one big nut.
It's not even. One's way bigger than the other. I think he fell towards the left side, which that one's bigger. I don't know. I can't say for sure, but that's my theory.
How many points did the children get for hitting the big ball with batteries? Was it more points than the little ball, or was the little ball
more? I think the little ball, because it's a smaller target, it requires more accuracy. A fucking blind monkey can hit his big ball with a fucking snowball.
I heard them yelling, +5 for the little ball, +3 for the big.
Okay, so you got there right when it was going down.
Yeah.
Well, luckily you showed up because you may You may have just saved a Jew's life.
Oh. For some reason, he was wearing his glasses, even though he's had the LASIK and they had broken the glasses, like a Christmas story. He was in a real rough shape when I came upon him.
Well, thank you for saving him, man. I don't know what we'd do without Ari in our life.
We'd lose all of our followers.
Yeah, we would. Well, thank you, Canadian man, for calling in. What's your name, Canadian man?
My name is Rich LeClaire.
Rich LeClaire.
I'm going to have to go back and listen and see if it really was Rich LeClaire.
Thank you so much.
I'm wanted by the Mounties. If it wasn't, then sometimes I get to change it.
Yeah. I fully understand. Mm. Well,
Rich
thank
LeClaire,
you for calling.
Everybody, for calling in. Thank you. That was such a good call. I'm not even going to hang up on him.
Canadian medic. Saved Ari's life.
Yeah.
God bless Canada.
God bless Canada. Let's get back into this UFC 196. As you all know, looks like Rafael Dos Anjos is out.
They said this would have been the biggest ticket of the year.
I still think if they get the right guy.
I totally
guy,
agree. I absolutely agree.
I think if they still get the right guy.
It could be.
But the thing about Conor McGregor is everybody drops out on this guy. It's like, I'm not saying these are fake injuries because I really do believe this guy broke his foot.
Yeah.
But it's just like this weird, like.
Well, really, this is only the second time, right? Who else?
Someone said there's five guys have dropped out on him.
I don't know about that. Maybe.
That's why we need Stat Boy.
No, we don't. He wouldn't have looked it up. It would be an hour later and he would not have found it.
He'd be like, yeah, there's nothing accurate.
There's nothing. I'm looking at fucking Japanese animation on my phone.
Yeah.
So who would you like to see him fight? Because I don't want him off the thing.
I want Nate Diaz.
Nate Diaz.
100%.
Matt, would Edgar?
Nope. I want Diaz, and that'll be an epic, epic, epic fight. And those guys are so athletic, and they're always in shape. It's not like he's, you know, who's the fucking guy that actually was in good shape for his last fight? The guy that beat GSP?
Johnny Hendricks.
Hendricks. It's not like he's Hendricks where he walks around at 235 and needs to cut 60
He was
pounds.
Pretty big, though, dude.
Nate?
When we saw him at the, he was like your size or more. How much do you weigh?
Like 130 in heels.
No, you don't really. You weigh like 180 maybe?
I'm like 170.
And he's 72. Thicker than you.
Yeah, but he's a professional athlete and I'm a fucking just a scumbag.
Yeah.
But they
with a heart of gold.
Thank you, Sam. That was great. That's going to be our new soundbite. But you know, he can get in shape like that. I mean, you know what I mean?
They all can. I mean, they all can. That's what the claim to fame and secrecy of that whole league is, that everybody's out of shape for 6 months and then for three months they just look fucking great.
Are you a big UFC fan?
I'm a semi-UFC. I actually was a camera guy for Ultimate Fighter, the TV show.
Really?
Oh, which season?
Four. It was the Matt Hughes GSP season.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah. So I got to
GSP calls into our show all the time.
George, we live next to each other in the same whatever apartment complex they put us up while we
How
were.
How much pussy where was we, he pounded next door? Did you just listen to it?
No, well, I had the overnight shift.
Oh,
so okay. I don't even. It was like during World. It was just a weird time in Vegas because it was also during World Cup. So we would get out of work and go straight to, I think it's Crown and Anchor.
Yeah.
Out there. And go straight to all night, staying up and watching the World Cup and then sleeping, and then I'd work a 12-hour shift.
Oh, so on the show, the camera, they got to have camera guys there, like,
oh, yeah,
the
yeah,
clock.
Around the clock. So
in case
you
some
come
shit
in,
goes down.
You pick them up, yeah, yeah. So you pick them up from the gym, my crew, we pick them up from the gym, and then.
What time of the day would you start?
So it's like 3 to 3.
Okay.
3 in the afternoon.
To three
at night. Yeah, till 3 in the morning. So it would be like, was it like 5 to 3? Somewhere in that like 10 to 12 hour
uh-huh.
range. And we maybe cut out early sometimes if the whole house went to sleep.
Was there ever a time you felt like you were in danger? Like oh, a fight's breaking out here in the kitchen and I'm about
no,
to get
No, that
an
year
elbow
we, I think we had somebody like escape over the wall try and like fuck around in Vegas.
No, no,
yeah,
dude,
yeah, yeah.
That's a notorious story. That guy's in jail for life, that dude.
Yeah.
Because he went out and he raped and almost killed some chick.
Which guy?
The guy that he's talking about.
I'm saying, but who is it?
I can't remember. It was like 10 years ago now.
Someone call Frank and tell him to look it up.
Yeah.
So I got like into US, you know, I got into USC during that period of time. Cause at the time it was also semi, you know, it's definitely not what it is, you know, today. Well,
yeah, but by season four, it really started to have some traction.
That the season prior to that, really, I mean, I credit Ortiz and Shamrock,
right,
to just jettisoning that show, especially that show. Because of their rivalry being so big.
And they're both such big personalities.
Right. And that's the thing I would say is, like, you know, with a guy like Conor McGregor, you know, as long as you get somebody who can match that pregame fucking personality, I think you're going to have a great show.
Will be
no
Nate Diaz. We have a call on the BetDSI Celebrity Hotline.
BetDSI Celebrity Hotline.
Welcome
for all your betting
drunk.
Needs.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello. You're calling in the Punch Drunk. This is not Dean Del Rey's Hellraisers.
Maybe it is.
All right.
Hell yeah.
No, I know who I'm calling.
Who? So what's the word? Who's this?
This is Aaron in Iowa.
Aaron in Iowa, welcome to the show.
Sound like a Dokken fan.
all right. I went to some fights last weekend.
Any particular fights, like a bar fight?
No, it was actually a pretty decent show. My friends and I cornered a couple fighters.
Cool.
In the main event.
Cool.
But we went. We had a group of eight of us that went. And some shit went down on the way home that my wife was there, and my buddies didn't phone shit back like I requested.
What?
Shit went down on the way home. It's leaving me in hot water, and I want to know if you guys think I'm justified in being pissed at my
wife. Oh, hold on. Okay,
well, you're pissed at your friends or you're pissed at your wife?
Your wife came with you, and your friend said some shit you didn't want her to hear?
Not even said, did.
Hold on, your friends were doing something in front of your wife?
I have a good idea. How about you tell us what happened?
Yeah.
We had a group of eight of us, me and my wife, and then three guys and three girls. None of them are couples. We all are either trainers or members at, it's called Title Boxing Club. It's in Iowa City.
Okay. Gotcha. Now, is it boxing or is it MMA?
That's like Title, like the boxing brand. Like, they have a chain of gyms and it's like cardio.
But it's both.
It's not like training. But I used to fight, and my buddy used to box, and we'd help train these fighters. That's why we were going to these fights.
Gotcha.
Okay.
But, while we're there, this one chick that's with us has had sex with the other three guys that are with us.
I love her.
She's fucked all of them.
I know this. Everyone else knows this. I'm not going to mention this to my wife, just because it just doesn't need to be mentioned.
Gotcha. Right. And then she's going to be jealous of this chick whenever
she's
around you.
She's going to try to fuck you.
Got it.
So at some point in the night, while we're in the back with the fighter, this chick tells my wife that she's banging the other three dudes.
Okay.
So by the time the fights are over, I'm already in hot water. But my one buddy, Clemente, he's been banging this chick on the side. Tells me like 2 weeks beforehand, like, dude, she said she loves me. I got to stop talking to her. I'm like, yeah, you should probably stop talking to her. That'd be a good idea. Well, then he finds out she's coming to fight. He's like, dude, fuck that. I'm not going to go. I'm like, we're cornering the fighter, man. You have to come.
Wow.
Hilarious. That's crazy.
The power of pussy.
Yeah.
Well, listen, she then announces, hey, I'm going to bring Bailey. And my buddy's like, all right, I'm back in.
Oh, no. What's up with Bailey?
Oh, she's hot. She's fucking 21. Just started training there. She's a junior at the University of Iowa.
And may I ask how old your wife is? Around?
Just turned 37 last weekend.
Okay.
I'm 31.
All right. And how old are you?
Bailey's no. I'm 31.
Okay. Your wife is 37. You're 31.
Your wife's 6 years older than you?
Yes.
Okay. We got to get all the information. How can we solve a crime if we don't know all the information?
Anything you need to.
Okay.
So, my buddy says, Kate is the one that slept with everybody. He's like, Kate's coming, I'm not coming. And then he finds out Bailey's coming. He says, all right, I'm back in. I said, all right, you really think trying to get on the chick that's coming with the chick that's in love with you is the best play here?
Right, dude. You're right. That's a great thing to say. And what was your friend's caveman response to that?
That he didn't give a fuck.
Yeah. Dude, women are weird, man, because women will do something that guys don't do. Women will call dibs. Wouldn't be like, I saw him first, I like him the most. And then the other girls tend to let her have him, and then there's this unwritten code. Whereas most guys, at least the guys I hang out with, they let that girl chick pick who they're going to fuck.
Yep.
Like me and Sebastian Maniscalco used to go out way back in the day, and there was one hot one and one one unattractive
whatever
one.
Tripoli got, and then the right, it's called the Tripoli leftovers.
No, that's not true at all, dude. Sometimes they pick me, and I knock bottom.
But
I
you're
knock-
also the guy that'll be like, "Hey, man, all you guys pick whoever you want. Whoever's left, I'll take."
Yeah, there was a time. There was a time, but we'd let them choose, and I would get hit. One time, he hooked up with a chick we called Mangina because she had a man's forehead.
Wow.
So okay. So Bailey's coming. So where does everybody go? Bailey's where's coming. It all go crazy?
And, you know, Kate's the chick you're talking about. That like, somebody's gonna get laid. Let's let her say.
Okay.
And I had never done anything with her. Not saying I wouldn't. Just saying I haven't.
Because you're married.
Yeah, exactly. Like she's a very pretty girl, but especially when I found out kind of how she was, kind of lost the attraction for me. But
she's the gym bike. Everybody's rode her.
Yeah. Exactly. So we come out, like, one of our fighters was the third fight of the night. And we come out after his fight, and we sit with them for a little bit. But Luddy's making pretty good headway with Bailey. Well, then Kate, oh, by the way, he has a girlfriend.
Okay. I'm not judging.
Kate decided to drop the ball and you know, hey, Bailey, do you know he has a girlfriend? And so Bailey's all turned off. Kate's fucking just a bitch the rest of the night. Somehow, well, first, it's been snowing for the entire time we've been there. It's a 2-hour drive from my house to Des Moines. It took 3.5 to get home. And my wife and I are the only sober ones in the van. Mm.
That's the worst.
My wife ends up sitting between my buddy and Kate, and they're fucking like groping each other over the top of her. I don't know any of this is going on. So she's already in a terrible mood by the time we get home.
Oh, my God.
My buddy and Kate come running in the door of my house. Neither of them ever been to my house before. Come running in the door of my house, and like I hear my garage door opening, like the inside door, and I look down, what are you guys doing? And they're just both smiling ear to ear. Where can we go? And I'm like, fucking home.
Yeah.
Get the fuck out. It's 3 a.m. And they just fucking take off straight down to my kid's room. I have a 16-year-old stepson.
Oh my God.
No, dude.
They go down to his room.
Uh-huh.
And I have a security system. So I pull it up and I can see him. Like, just, they're not on his bed, but they're just, like, standing against the wall in his room.
And he's pounding puss in your kid's room.
Yeah. So my dog comes down, he's bugging him, so they run into, there's a bathroom down there. And they're fucking shamelessly knocking it out. My wife is just fucking not saying it, not wanting to give the, you know, to give the power, but she's fucking irate. So eventually everybody gets out, and it's, like, 4 a.m. And my wife just goes, so Kate's a little different than I thought. And I'm like, I know, right? I'm going to go to bed. She's like, no, it's not that easy.
No, dude, can
I end up all night. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I end up up all night. You know, like, the first thing out of her mouth is, fucking, have you had sex with Kate?
Of course.
Like, no. And we had to explain my way around everything. And just the whole night we're up, like, literally talking about divorce.
Really?
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Because she's worried because I'm younger, you know, and I train at this gym.
She's insecure. Your wife's insecure.
Yeah.
Here's what's going on, dude.
Yeah.
Couple things. Here's the things that are going on. You have every right to be pissed. Because I would tell you, because, you know, me and Tebow, of all of our friends, and I'm not going to speak for Tebow. I'm going to speak for me. I'm kind of known as the scumbag of the group.
Speak for Tebow. I'm a scumbag.
Right? Yeah. But I know when I go around my friends' wives, I have to be up, you know, the nice guy, tip of the hat. Good day, mate. You know, like, you know, just a gentleman around their wives. Like, I don't speak no ill. I don't say anything. I don't say any sexist jokes. I am, like, Republican version of Sam Tripoli, you know? I'm really
What's the saying? The loose lips sink ships?
Yeah, 100%. So your friends put you in a horrible position. My next question to you is, why is your wife going with you guys? Because it's a big event for you guys? Did she want to come?
Yeah, I judge fights. I'm a certified judge. I just started cornering these two kids that we were cornering. This is only our second fight with them. And I used to fight around here. I know all the local guys. So I go to a lot of the shows. And she doesn't get to go very often just because, like, if I'm judging or cornering, I can't sit with her.
Yeah, she's sitting alone.
So when there was a, well, there's a group going. She was like, yeah, I want to go. And I don't have a problem with her going. I wasn't planning on doing anything.
You got fucked by your friends, dude. You have every right to be pissed. And you know what? They're not married, and you know, as soon as they get married, they're all going to be like, they should just walk up to you going, I just realized what an asshole.
It's a classic overreaction by your wife. One, I think, you know, she's a little pissed because it's late at night. She's sober. She wants to go to bed. She's got these people fucking in the dog.
A little pissed. She should be completely pissed.
Yeah.
And, dude, they brought the town bike. Which is my favorite saying ever.
Now, most importantly,
there's no better description of a chick who fucks everybody than town bike. And they brought the town bike. You can't bring the whores to the you know, it's like when Pauly Shore brought a porn star to a Disney movie premiere. You don't bring the whores to Disneyland.
But dude, it was, what was it? It was fucking...
He brought Sika, who blew her brains out.
It was Snow White, bro.
Yeah.
So that's what I call my little baby. Most importantly, the question that I have for you, very important question. What's this Kate girl's number again?
Yeah.
I deleted it immediately after that night.
Yeah. You should have a talk with everybody because, you know what, dude? I mean, unless you're looking
at your wife owes you a fucking apology.
No, you're never going to get that, dude. You're never going to.
The next day?
What?
The next day, I go downstairs to check this bathroom, make sure there's not like a fucking
condom
running down the wall of my kid's room.
Yeah.
So I go down there. I find my buddy's wallet on the floor.
Oh, yeah. Like, I'd take the money.
Oh, I own this motherfucker. I go into the garage where we all ended up standing around drinking for a little bit, and I find a phone, which I later found out to be Kate's.
Oh.
I had to go.
The plot thickens.
Oh, this was fucking, it just fell into my lap, man, but it worked out beautifully. So I go, I text, or my buddy's texting me, hey, do you have my wallet? And I'm like, oh, I don't know, man, I'm looking for it. And Kate ends up Facebooking my wife and saying, hey, I think I left my phone there. Can you bring it to the gym? So we go to the gym, and neither of them show up. So I have his wallet and her phone, and I leave them both at the gym, which closes after that class. So we leave, and he's texting me, hey, do you have my wallet? I said, yeah, I found it. I took the title with me. I said, but I just gave it to Kate. She said she's going to bring it by your place.
That's great.
And yes. So he is like, what's her number? I'm like, fuck if I know, man. So he ends up getting a hold of somebody else, getting her number, and blowing up her phone all day, which is sitting with his wallet locked in the gym.
That's hilarious.
He's sitting at home with his girlfriend, sweating that this chick is going to come by his house.
Dude, well played. I would have told her to go to his house. I would have fucked that.
And told her that he had her phone.
Yeah, he has her phone.
I bet her phone has 7,000 dick pics on it.
I think it has a ton of dick pics and pictures of her asshole and all that shit.
Yep.
Well, dude, you have every right to be pissed. And who knew fucking Iowa MMA was so crazy?
Did your fighters win that night?
Good question.
Our one earlier in the card did. Our one in the main event ended up losing. He got hurt that week. Probably shouldn't have fought.
God, it's a crazy business.
He's tough kid. This is
literally the Ultimate Fighter meets The Bachelor.
Yeah.
This was like, hey, they're fighting for a crown, but they're also knocking the dust off those pussies.
The Ultimate Bachelor.
Welcome
Fighter
to
of
the
love.
Ultimate Bachelor. Fighter of love.
Fighter of love.
Hey, dude, who would you like to see Conor McGregor fight?
I could see.
There we go. Boom.
And that was the longest story of the week.
I know it was long, but I just was hoping for some weird fuck fest at the end.
I wasn't listening. Had an interest. I tapped Tebow. I was listening to hear them fuck. I wanted to hear that part of
it. Well, they were fucking in the garage. I mean, like, dude, that's just classless. I mean, I get that they're cavemen, they're MMA fighters.
And they're drunk.
And they're drunk.
And they're in Iowa.
The worst move, I thought, is like him finger banging her over the fucking sober wife.
Dude, I don't know who
switch seats, you cunt.
I don't know who would. I would never want. I would. You wouldn't walk into my kid's bedroom and start fucking. I would lose my.
How did
fucking,
they let it go
how
down?
How do you let that go down?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. A guy hit us up since we don't have Stat Boy. The guy from your Ultimate Fighter was Jeremy Jackson, and Jeremy Jackson is now serving 25 years to life for pleading guilty to rape. He had multiple counts of aggravated rape. Jesus. Like, I love that the aggravated rape. Where's seductive rape?
Yeah.
What do you
consensual,
get?
It was consensual.
Consensual rape I've been guilty of a lot in my
life. By the
way,
on the International Bad Boys Hour the other day, I won't tell Steve this website, but it's called FetLife.com. It's FetLife.com. Have you ever been on it? Oh, dude. It is like, what's the website that's really great? Adult Friend Finder, minus the money, and less no hookers, no spam, no nothing. And it's just fucking, dude, whatever weird fetish you are in,
yeah.
There is a group dedicated to that fetish, and everybody's in. And, dude, you'd be amazed at how many chicks have fucking rape fantasies, dude. It's unbelievable. From all over the world. Just, I have a rape fantasy. Is anybody in Iowa who want? And you're like, oh, yeah, I'll come over and fucking knock the bottom out of it. It's just amazing.
Kate's on it, for sure.
Suppose me. Yeah, Kate's on there for sure.
But the thing with the, when I was shooting for, working in camera, I was, you'd see before fights, you'd be like, oh, dude, this dude's like 10 pounds overweight. And in 2 days, just in a spacesuit and no food. And just, but he's fucking
salt bath.
Yeah, yeah, dude, just
sauna.
Ripped, ready to fucking rock.
Yeah. It's a crazy gig, dude. And that thing's weird because they have to do multiple fights within a very short
Real
period
fast.
Of time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, you think of the, you know, they do this in Japan. They'll do like tourneys where you'll fight like three times in one night. And, like, you'll get destroyed. You know, you'll win your fight, but it was, like, a full fight where you beat the shit out of each other. You'll take on a guy who, like, knocked his dude out in, like, 10 seconds.
Right.
And then you got to fight that
yeah.
guy.
I think on my – we had Bisbane.
Oh, yeah.
Michael Bisbane was on was the big name out of that season. And who's the Boston dude? The short Boston – anyway, I'll think of it later.
Was it Matt Serra? No.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
No. Matt Serra wasn't that one. That was when they had two weight divisions. Now they've been doing only one weight division.
Okay.
I like the Ultimate Fighter. I think it's gotten better. I just like fights. I just like fights. I like watching fights.
That show's smart. I mean, from the time they started that, it really, because, you know, with a lot of fighters, you don't get a lot of the back. You don't know these guys well. And then through that, you got to know. And, you know, they're like, oh, if you win, you get a $100,000 contract and you get to be in the UFC. A lot of those guys make it to the UFC.
Do you guys, we got a call coming in by, real quick, I want to get into Ronda Rousey talking about, she thought about killing herself. Does anybody not think this, I know we kind of brought it up a little earlier, but is she just completely shish kebabbed? I mean, does anyone see any way Ronda Rousey wins her belt back?
Maybe, because the competition level at all of that is, there's two or three good fighters, just like Ari says, in that weight class, probably at some point in time. If she cares about fighting and not acting and all that sort of stuff.
I think she's got foot out the door.
She's like the Anna Kournikova of MMA. Like, now that we have her, she's never going to be able to compete at a high level again. I think she's been distracted by all the fame. Like, what she's in the Entourage movie. Yep. She's fucking in Fast and the Furious or whatever. It's just like
every commercial under the sun,
everything. And it's just like, you can't at that level continue to live, but you're not, nobody's that good.
She had more Super Bowl commercials than Peyton Manning had completions.
Hey, we got a call. Who's on the line? You're on with Punch Drunk. Are you there?
Joe motherfucking Silver Dog, make it fucking happen, man.
Oh, shit. Is this the one only from the 209? Nate Diaz!
Fucking, I'm on my fucking tuner right now. My beeper is fucking blowing up, dog. Fucking people are like, you gotta fucking fight Conor McGregor, dog.
Are you gonna do it, dude? Are you gonna fight it? I mean, you gotta drop some weight. When I saw you, you were bigger than Tebow, and Tebow's a 180 soaking drunk.
Shit.
I've been fucking drinking a lot of fucking OE, a lot of fucking King Cobras, but fucking, I'll drop the fucking weight, dog. I'll fucking put on some trash bags right now, fucking start riding my exercise bike on the tuner, dog.
Now you're on the pontoon boat. Now which one of your pontoon boats are you on right now?
Believe it or not, dog, I'm on the one that fucking my brother rigged up a fucking bike to make it go. He fucking MacGyvered this shit.
Right.
So the bike is the fucking power of the fucking tuner.
Whoa!
Wow.
That's pretty impressive.
So in order to keep the lights on, you have to be on a stationary bike all the time?
In order to fucking keep the thing moving, dog, you have to fucking ride this BMX that fucking Gil's old man donated to us.
Now, you're only going to have like 13 days to prepare for Conor McGregor. I know you don't want to give too much of your game plan out. How do you think you're going to beat him?
Fucking sprawling brawl, dog. Fucking, I don't need much to fucking beat this guy, dog. He's a fucking little leprechaun. He's on the fucking front of the fucking Lucky Charms box and shit. I'm just going to fucking show him that 209 doesn't fucking deal well with foreigners, dog.
How do you see it playing out? Kind of go through it in your head how you think the fight goes.
First, I'm going to fucking submit him, but fucking classic old WWF style, I'm going to fucking let him out, dog.
Oh, shit.
Just to torture him more?
I'm going to fucking have that Kimura right to the point where he thinks it's going to snap. He's about to tap, and then I fucking let it up. Give him the Dikembe fucking Mutombo. No, no, no.
Oh, yeah.
And I say, fucking get up. Then I head kick him.
Uh-huh.
Fucking knee to the body. 50 punches to the fucking gut.
Wow.
One uppercut. Then a fucking classic boss rooting forearm strike to the side of the neck. Fucking KO, dog.
Wow.
Damn.
Wow.
Wow, that's some visionary stuff. I really want to see this fight.
I wanted this fight more than I wanted the Dos Anjos fight.
I do too. I just think that there's a guy who's going to talk shit.
People are fucking saying they want to see fucking Ronald Cerrone fight him, dog. But I mean,
you beat Donald Cerrone. You beat him. You deserve the fight.
I fucking deserve it. I mean, I deserve that UFC money, dog. Fuck the pay-per-view shit.
That's what you told me, bro. Yeah.
You want some of that pay-per-view money. You want that UFC money, dog.
Yeah, fuck the fucking pay-per-view money, dog. That's for fucking bitches. The fucking UFC money. Joe Silva fucking Fertitas. I see fucking the Fertitas eat with fucking gold silverware, dog.
Dude, let me tell you something. If you fight Conor McGregor, that pay-per-view money is going to be fucking nuts.
But what about that UFC money, dog? No one's fucking paying attention to that shit.
I think a lot of people are actually paying attention.
So listen, so what's going to happen, dude, is that we are doing a Rabble.tv co-companion with these two guys who, like, I don't know if you know this, but they these two really funny comics, they've been named L.A.'s number one gay duo of comedy. I don't know if you've heard about this. Jeff Danis, Ryan O'Neill, number one gay.
Yeah, man, I fucking call their fucking podcast all the fucking time, dog.
Yes, you
do. Oh, really? You do? You do?
Yeah, fucking right out. I mean, Punch Drunk and their show's fucking 1A, 1 fucking B, dog.
Oh, fuck yeah. It's one of my favorites. So we're going to be doing a play-by-play, and guess what? I'm going to be honest with you. We're going to be a little biased. Because we're going to be rooting for one Mr. Nate Dogg.
I'm going to fucking, McGregor, you want to come up to fucking, I'll fight you at 55, I'll fight you at 70, I'll fight you at fucking, I'll go down to 120, I'll do whatever the fuck you want.
I don't think you can get to 120, dude. You have to cut off the leg.
You've got like 75 pounds to get, and that's like 3 weeks away.
No, it's 13 days away.
I don't have one of those fucking medical stands next to me to have IV fluids, but I want to fight this motherfucker. Gil Silva, if you're listening, you're fucking 4 foot tall. I want this fucking fight, dog.
All right, man. I think we got to make it happen. I got to think we're going to make it happen. Where do you think listen, where's your after party going to be in Vegas? What do you think?
It's going to be at fucking Tony's Tuners on the fucking
a pontoon store?
In Vegas? Yeah, you're going to have a Vegas pontoon party?
Tony's Tuners.
Dog, it's the only for once I fucking, do I fucking win that belt, dog, if I beat this guy, or what happens?
It wouldn't be for a belt.
No, it won't be for a belt, but it will put you in line to fight next for the belt.
Can I get, like, fucking honorary 170 good job belt or something?
Done. We will make that for you.
Absolutely. You win this fight. You get the Punch Drunk belt.
Maybe I'll be the fucking Punch Drunk champ, dog.
Done.
100%. You already in a lot of ways are.
Whoever wins this fight is official Punch Drunk world champion.
I hope GSP doesn't hear that because he still thinks he's the champ.
Well, we'll
of
see.
Of all champs.
I want to fight fucking, once I win this fight, I want to fight fucking CM Punk, dog. I want to break his back.
I would love that.
But we got to get our boy Mickey to do it first. Get, let him
Mickey
get
Mickey Gall's got to do it.
Mickey Gall's got to find first.
All right, dog. He's a young fucking buck. He needs the fucking, he needs his shit. I'll fucking, okay.
We want Mickey to fight him, get a big name, then you fight him and you knock him out of the fucking UFC.
I got a story about Mickey Gall. Last night, I'm laying into Hinchcliffe about, oh, by the way, Nate Diaz, don't you have a Tony Hinchcliffe impression?
Fucking, I don't do a lot of fucking impressions, but that's fucking one I've been really working on.
Let's hear it.
Let's hear it.
Oh, welcome to Kill Tony.
I love it, dude. I love it. What'd you have to say about
it? So I was laying into him about, because he, when CM Punk came out, because he's a big WWF fan. Oh, this guy is a real athlete. He is going to take the UFC by storm. I go, you're out of your mind, man. This guy's going to get murdered. So now he won't fight anybody. And I see Tony, I'm like, in front of a bunch of people, I go, by the way, because he's bragging about how he's going to the UFC and now he's this big UFC
fan. It's been, what, a year? He's supposed to be, he should have been training for, what, a year? Yes, 2 years.
2 years.
Now. 2 years he hasn't fought anybody. I go, by the way, super fan of the UFC, your WWF comic book fucking faggot idiot is too afraid to fight anybody. I never said he. I go, fuck you, you never said that.
Yeah.
I've been waiting 2 years to bust your balls about this.
You have gotten so red.
And you
red
finally take this away from me.
Right here talking, you're so red, you look like an Asian drunk. That's how red you just
got. Oh. You're
going to
pay.
Fucking guy, dog. You want me to fucking take him out?
Oh, I'd love to watch that.
I would love to see that.
Hey, dude.
I'll triangle choke him, dog.
Have you listened to this?
Yeah.
Do you think Nate should listen to this while we play it real quick?
Well, sure. Nate, what do you think about this Ronda Rousey suicide thing?
Dog, is it a tough fucking thing, dog? I mean, she's kind of like my sister-in-law practically because she has a fucking kid with Nick.
Yep, that's what you say. That's what you say.
But
well,
I mean, fucking, I can't fucking respect it because, like, I've never tasted fucking defeat. But
oh, ever. You're
actually, both you and your brother both have been beaten before.
But that was like fucking Cecil Peoples fucking up and shit.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, your arch nemesis from this show, the guy that you have tortured endlessly, George St. Pierre, you guys buried him alive in a refrigerator box in his underwear. You guys catfished him with Ronda Rousey, and she thought he thought she was in love with him. But he's very concerned about the kids killing themselves, and he has recorded what he has sent to Sam and I, a GSPSA about suicide. So I'd like to play this and let us know your thoughts. So here's a message from George Rush St. Pierre.
Hi, this is George St. Pierre coming to you pre-recorded with a GSPSA for the Punch Drunk Sports podcast. In lieu of recent comments by the one-time love of my life, Ronda Rousey, I felt that it was my responsibility to discuss losing. Sometimes when you win, you really lose. And sometimes when you lose, you really win. And sometimes when you win or lose, you actually tie. And sometimes when you tie, you actually win or lose. Winning or losing is all one organic mechanism from which one extracts what one needs. That's actually a quote from the hit movie White Men Can't Jump. I'm up for the role of Billy Hoyle in the remake and think with my good looks and charisma that it's a no-brainer that I get it.
Yeah.
Anyhow, I want you to know that even a jean shorts wearing, constant championship belt wearing stud like myself loses from time to time. I know you're saying, what? But yeah, it's true. After I lost to Matt Serra, I was heartbroken.
Oh, sorry.
But I never considered killing myself. How did I handle the loss, you ask? Well, I smoked 14 bags of kitty litter and inhaled 22 cans of computer spray in 4 days. After about just 6 bags and 8 cans, I couldn't even remember the loss and barely remembered the name of my best friend, David Loazzo. So remember, kids, if you lose, don't think about killing yourself. Just do enough KL and sea spray until you forget your problems and enter an alternate reality. In Holly Holm, if you're listening, I think you are so sexy the way you wear that belt around your waist. I want to come up behind you and take it off slowly, like in the movie Ghost with Patrick Swayze.
Jesus.
For Punch Drunk Sports, this is GSP saying, the more you know.
Wow, that was great. That's great. I know. I agree with that. If life is not good, do a lot of drugs to forget about.
And that's a GSPSA, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, Nate, we're rooting for you. Thanks for calling in, and we're pro Diaz here. War Diaz, war.
Tuner 09, dog. Tuner 09, motherfucker.
Tuner 09. Wow, I love the Tuner 09.
Tuner 09, brother. Take
there's
care.
Some merchandise right wow. there.
Holly Holmes. Nobody's talking about that fight. I think she's going to mop the floor.
Well, now it's the only goddamn fight on the card that matters. It's a fight that, like, you're kind of like, whatever. I mean, I'm excited to see that fight, but I'm not, like, pay-per-view excited to see that fight.
I'm glad that she's a fighting champion and yeah. didn't just decide to not do anything until Ronda was ready to.
What are they going to do?
What?
They're just going to have to get somebody to replace him because it's such a pivotal fight.
I hope they don't pull Conor off the fight. I hope
if they do
Frankie Edgar or Diaz. I'm pro Diaz. Pro Diaz.
Oh, that's what I want. I want Diaz badly.
So let's get into some NBA since we're in our second hour. Are you a big NBA fan?
Yeah, I love the NBA, man.
Who's your team?
I'm a Celtics fan, and I've been really impressed because I will say I had very low expectations
of this season,
and have just been blown away by how they're like the Hawks of last season, like this like scrappy young team,
well.
Yeah, the scrappy young team without too many stars who are figuring out a way to make it win.
How did you become a Celtics fan?
Born in New Hampshire. Raised in Massachusetts, big Celtics fan.
Okay,
definitely was the you know was as a kid was you know the '80s and then you know later in the 2000 era, I got to see the big three bring us some pride back to Boston.
Sure did.
I got to lose Reggie Lewis and Len Bias.
Oh, unbelievable! Yeah, how good that team could have been.
Yeah,
people don't realize Lenny Bias was. Fucking giving Michael Jordan fits.
Right.
Like, he was up in that range of player.
It was, yeah. I know, it's also hard to be, nobody wants to hear a Celtics fan talk about woe is me because of, you know, just how well we've had it, but like, yeah.
I think the Celtics get so disrespected
yeah.
by the media and the NBA because I think people dismiss, in a weird way, Bill Russell's.
He's the, like, I don't think people understand.
But when they talk about, like, all these championships and, like, the Lakers are the flagship franchise of the NBA.
Mm-hmm. Or, like, Bird. Dude, Bill Russell, to dominate Wilt Chamberlain, to dominate.
He was about 3 inches short of him,
just
too.
A pure winner. Just a, like, that's, like, it's what I say between Brady and Peyton Manning. Like, Peyton Manning will go down with the stats and the records and all this stuff. And I don't, you know, Brady never had the arm that he had or anything like that. Brady was just a winner. He just knew how to win when it came
He's
to it. And
Tim
that's what
Duncan
Bill Russell,
of
yeah.
the NFL.
How insane is it that Tim Duncan still plays basketball?
I was saying the other day, like, Tim Duncan would take so much of a pay cut to keep winning. Like, he would play for
it's
a
the
sandwich
exact
and a ring.
Of Kobe.
Right. A sandwich and a ring he would play for.
Yeah. Exact opposite.
He's the first person I built. Like, anybody all time, if you're like, who would you start your team around? Tim Duncan. Just always shows up, always there, never in the media, always produces at a high level. I mean, what does he play? 15
always
minutes
healthy.
Now? Puts up 10 points and 8 boards?
Yeah.
Like, it's insane.
People forget. People are like, dude, it's not even close between Kobe and Tim Duncan. Dude, you're
I would
Tim
take
Duncan
Tim
now.
Duncan over Kobe
Tim Duncan
100 out of 100
Shaq
times.
Years was a monster.
100 out of 100 times, I would take Tim Duncan over Kobe.
Yeah, dude, he's just
not even because I hate Kobe. Just based on what he brings to a team.
Everybody, stop hitting the table.
What he brings to a team, yeah. I would take that.
Yeah.
You know what's so weird is like this Golden State team has kind of effed up some really great legacies that could be happening. Like, I don't think the Spurs make it out. Again, I'm being honest with you. I don't think the Spurs make it out of the first round.
What? I mean,
second round. I think
I agree.
I'm going to get into this, but I think the Clippers will overtake Oklahoma City because I think Oklahoma City is starting to read all their headlines. And those two big stars are like,
well,
we're not going to beat Golden State. We might have to go somewhere else.
I mean, that's the chink in their armor is you stop Westbrook or you stop Durant on any given. I mean, they both pretty much have to put up 30.
Right. I was just going to say you need 60 out of the two of them.
Out of the two of them.
Just going to say that.
Yeah, each game in the playoffs in order for that to happen.
And dude, I mean, it's so weird because the NBA's changed so quickly from the year that San Antonio won it to last year and even this year. Two different NBAs, man. Because now it's like you got to have everybody on that floor has to be able to score now. Because that's what the Warriors have done.
Yeah.
And now if you look at the Thunder, two guys score on that team. And the rest play defense in a weird way. It's like almost like Allen Iverson's Philadelphia team where he was the only one who scored and everybody else played defense. You can't have that now.
Yeah. Or that Shaq and Penny, that Magic team, that early 90s Magic team where they couldn't go anywhere. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like you can't have just two guys be your scorers. You have to have everybody. The day of just the defensive specialist in the NBA is slowly going to go away. You have to be able to shoot and score all five positions.
Yeah.
Because it's just you got to be able to cover everybody. It's spacing now. I want to get into something real quick about there's kind of some talk within the Clipper fans. Everybody was so pissed because during the Clipper-Warrior game, they said about 30 to 40% of the crowd was Warrior fans. And everyone's like, Clipper fans. No, dude, those aren't Warrior fans. Those are fucking goddamn Laker fans who are jumping off the fucking
100% right.
And going and fucking supporting the Warriors because they're all goddamn bandwagon
guys. They're Chris Burns. That was a bunch of Chris Burns there.
That's 100% what that is. A bunch of local guys who can't fucking take 3 years of their team not winning that just run from the wagon to another fucking wagon.
Yep. Oh, I've always been a fan of theirs, too.
What?
My
dick! What a piece
of shit. You haven't.
You can't be a fan of another team in your own division.
No shit.
You can't do it.
Thank you.
You got to be like, I'm
Thank
a Clipper
you,
fan,
Sam.
Or I'm a Laker fan.
Thank
I can
you.
Like, I can like the Washington Wizards. Because they're not in my division. Like, oh, I lived out there. I can like them. Like, I'm a Knicks fan because I'm from New York. But when it comes to Clippers, I'm Clippers, then Knick. But I can never be a fucking, like, I think Sacramento, I like the city. But I can't be a Kings fan. They're my fucking division.
Dude, I like San Francisco. Great town. You're not going to see me rocking a Niners jersey. You ain't going to see me rocking a Raiders jersey. You ain't going to see me rocking a Golden State. Fuck that. There's this kid at the comic store. I don't even know his name. Same dude, one of those guys that just always gives you ear beating about wants to talk sports and you never can get him to shut up.
Is he a fat kid?
Two, yep.
Jack?
2 years, no, that guy's another one, though.
I love Jack, but he's
drives
fucking
me nuts.
Always crazy.
Two years ago, this guy's giving me a yap fest about the Lakers. I walk in the other night, he's got a fucking brand new Golden State jersey on. I grab the jersey, I go, man, that thing seems pretty brand new. Man, I've been a fan of them. Like, shut the fuck up.
No,
man, I was 2 years ago. I got to smell your breath about the fucking Lakers. Now you're wearing a fucking brand new Steph Curry jersey.
I was a Mullins fan, dude. Chris Mullins.
Yeah,
I remember it.
Right.
I like the basketball because I love basketball. In that terms, I can appreciate what the Warriors are doing. But fuck them.
So can I, but I have no respect for bandwagon fans.
It's funny because now you're curious as to when it was going to happen is like, when do they become hated, right? Because they've been the underdog story
so long.
For so long. And like, I think you also, the idea that like, that you have this superstar who's 6'2", one, this little guy who is the face of the NBA now.
Babyface,
too. You feel like...
That could be you.
He's the underdog.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it, yeah.
Well, it's I have to ask you, did Michael Jordan's Bulls ever become the hated ones? I don't think anybody ever hated them.
They did.
Oh, for sure.
Absolutely.
I mean,
as a Knicks fan,
a lot of people hate.
Yeah, as a Celtics fan, I wanted to fuck
all those Pistons fans, all those Cleveland Cavaliers fans. He stuck a dagger in the Cavaliers every first round of the playoffs, every time. Those Cav fans hated him. Those Pistons fans hated the Bulls.
Orlando, I was a huge Penny Hardaway fan as a kid growing up, and they couldn't get past Chicago. You just couldn't get past Chicago. Anybody who had a team in the East during Jordan, hated him.
Absolutely. Yep.
You hated
They all hated him.
Yeah, I just can't stand everyone's like, oh, they're all nothing. Dude, they showed during a Laker game, this Asian kid taking off his Laker jersey and putting on a Golden State jersey. What a piece of shit!
That's Laker fans.
Unbelievable!
That's Laker fans.
It's just
that's exactly what I've been saying.
You have 2 years of your career, of your dynasty, where you're shit and you're already jumping off.
Yep.
It's like it's why everybody
it's
hates
exactly
LA.
Exactly what I've been saying about the Lakers.
Fuck you!
For a long time. Is like
I'm a Clipper fan.
That's why
I've
I was a Clipper
fan. Fan through the Lamar Odom fucking years.
Wait, Darius Miles.
Yeah. I've been knocking my head for fucking 15 years.
Yep. Ron
God
Harper.
God damn, dude. It's so embarrassing.
It's not embarrassing. I love it. It's exactly what we've been saying they were. And now we get to see them.
That's why they don't
exactly
get a football team.
Are.
You don't deserve a football team.
Yeah, well, we got one, and I'm starting to like. I
like it that it's the Rams.
I think people are starting to come through. Now, the Rams' worst nightmare is if Sperano stays down in San Diego. And
I don't
the
think
Raiders
so.
Move here.
Oh, neither. I don't think. I'm pretty sure. No other team is coming here.
I really hope another team doesn't come. I really do too.
Why split a fan base? Just give them one team, at least for five years or more.
Every major sporting league has two teams in this market. It's just the way it is. It's too big.
I think it hurts. I think it would hurt both teams by bringing two teams here. I think you have one team. I think San Diego should stay in San Diego, and I think Oakland should stay in Oakland.
Yeah.
You know what?
How about this?
If I'm Mark Davis, right, and secretly I really want...
The NFL will never let them leave.
Let them leave where? Oakland? Well, I'm just saying, if I wanted to come to L.A.,
uh-huh.
I say I have $3 million to put towards a fucking... To a stadium.
$3 million?
He says $300 million.
Oh, that's it. Yeah, I was saying.
That's a big difference. Right?
Yeah. They're like, cool, cool. We'll get the air conditioner fixed.
I would give that $300 million to Sprouse. I'm going to put that towards your stadium. You got $100 million from the NFL, $300 million from Mark Davis, and you have the San Diego thrown in. Now San Diego stays down there. And then you could have the option of moving to L.A. I would love the Raiders down here. I don't give a fuck.
I don't see it happening. And I think it would hurt. I mean, if anybody should have come here, it should have been the Rams or the Raiders. And, you know, Rams are here and fuck it.
Okay. We'll get in the NFL, but I want to stay in the NBA. I was listening to Bill Simmons' podcast. It's so funny. As soon as Doc Rivers left Boston, Bill Simmons went from loving the Clippers to absolutely hating them and cannot stop shitting on them on his podcast. Just can't stop shitting on them. And we picked up Jeff Green. Everybody's shitting on this trade in the media. And I'll tell you why. Because we live in a world where we hate when David becomes Goliath. We love it when everything stays the status quo.
Can you please stop hitting the table?
Okay. I respect that. I deserve that. Point for Tebow. Apparently I do that. Apparently I'm a hypocrite. I'm only kidding. Everybody hates it, dude. Everybody loves the Lakers, the Bulls, the Knicks to a point, the Celtics being the good teams. You see it in college football all the time. They want the Alabamas, the Florida States. They want all those teams to stay the same because everybody, it's easier to write about them. It's easier to send writers to cover them.
Big market teams.
Alabama isn't a big market.
It's the only sport. That whole division is a big market division. The whole SEC is.
But Alabama football is that's the only thing in the whole state.
The status quo of we know who we're going to cover. We know where to send everybody. Instead of everybody being good, now you got to send every guys all over the place. You know, they love the status quo. So when a team like the Clippers, who have been dog shit forever, actually rise up, and ESPN has a kind of a little piece of the Lakers because they own their, you know, their radio rights. They go fucking nuts and they hate it. And everybody shits on. Jeff Green is a perfect pickup for the Clippers because he doesn't have to do that much. He just has to score about 12, 13 points a game and keep the defense honest. Because when you have Matt Barnes out there and Mute, whatever his name is, nobody's covering them. They're putting Steph Curry on Mute, whatever his name is. Jeff Green, you got to cover, else he's going to explode on you for 25.
My problem with the Green, I only have one problem. I like the Green pickup, and he's definitely better than Stevenson. He's going to get more minutes. He can do more. He can play. But yeah, that aspect of it, I'm fine with. My only problem with it is the mortgaging of the future, where it's a 2019 first-round pick, and this guy can walk at the end of the year. So we really are renting him for half a season, and it costs us a first-round pick in 3 years. So now we have one first-round pick in the next three drafts.
That's a both good and a bad thing. Because if you think about it, we're renting him. Let's say we had long-term, right? And he doesn't work out. Now we're, like, stuck with this guy. We got a huge cap jump. The cap jump's $20 million this summer.
Right.
So that's a ton of cash to spend on people. Now you got a guy who compliments you because you don't want too many Chiefs. You need Indians.
Well, the other thing, I mean, and the Clippers in particular need a bench. Late in the playoffs, because they're the worst second half team with the most stars I've ever seen
tired.
In my entire life. It's so shitty to watch.
For 3 years in a row.
And I think my frustration isn't even with them becoming Goliath. They are them, the Bulls, who else fits this description? I guess the Wizards to an extent. I'm tired of these teams that should be the greatest hit. Like, nobody should beat the Clippers. Nobody should have beaten the Clippers for the past, like, 4 years, and they just can't seem to get it done.
You know,
so bringing in a Jeff Green to make it to – they need to start nowing. They need to start making decisions
for now.
Well,
there's a big talk that Chris Paul's been with the Clippers for 5 years. This is your plan is always a five-year plan, like, to hit your stride in five years.
I think
years.
He's having the best season he's had in
he's
5 years.
He's killing people. It's so interesting. These Golden State Warriors have fucked up so many people's visions.
The Clippers are in the worst. Like to be there during to be in the same division as the Warriors and the Spurs when you're the team like the Clippers has got to be the most frustrating thing. In the
year we should have won it, we should have won it all. Was the year that Tranny came out and put out those tapes of Donald Sterling saying black people stuff, and that was the year we were going to win it. And she just completely ruined everything. Kate Quigley wanted me to go on a date fails with her and Stephen Glickman. They were going to have her on. I go, if I go on there, just know there is a chance of violence, and I am going to shred this bitch the whole entire thing. She ruined it. I think. I'm going to be honest with you. I think the Clippers are the third best team right now in the NBA. I think it goes Golden State. I think Cavs are just a little above us, and then it's us. I think San Antonio, you're going to see a fall
off. I think Clippers beat the Cavs in a seven-game series.
The Warriors are bad, but I'm not afraid of the Warriors. I think once our guys are all together. Dude, every game we've had a lead on them except for this last one, and then we storm back within three.
See, I feel like Popovich is incredible and all this, but I feel like the thing with San Antonio is like
they're old,
but they have 10 players, not just five, and then maybe a couple of utility. 10 players. Like once Tony Parker's out, Mills comes in, and you don't miss much. I mean, he can come in for 20 minutes and pretty much put up the same numbers that Tony.
The question
Parker
is had. This: can LaMarcus Aldridge? What's the wing guy called? What's his name? The kid they got.
Kawhi
Leonard.
Yeah, yeah.
Can they win the West, those two? Because the other guys are too old. They're just old. And you're going to see.
No.
Nope, they can't, dude. And that's why they got blown out by the Clippers. And that's why I want to see them in the second round. Everyone's like, nobody wants to. I would love to see the Spurs. And of all
Clippers
the people,
match up good against the Spurs.
And against the Thunder. We should have beaten the Thunder. Of course, Kevin Durant, being one of the greatest shooters to ever play the game, hits the last second shot, and we lose in the last second. I would like to see them in the thing. The Warriors are going to be interesting, dude. And now with the summer coming up.
How many games do you think they lose?
I wasn't even worried about them breaking the undefeated record. I think they're going to take the Bulls record, 72-10. They're going to take that.
You think so?
Do I think that? I think they're going to beat the record.
I think they're going to go 74. I think they're.
I hope they don't.
I think they're going to beat the record.
I hope they don't.
I think
just because I don't want to hear it. I'm not even like a huge Golden State hater.
Yeah.
And you know what? I really respect their real fans. All the fans up there.
Because that's a shitty market. You know what I mean? Or if they,
how many Golden State fans 3 years ago did you know other than Al Madrigal?
No, in L.A., none. In
none.
San Francisco, they've always been.
No,
that
team
is
fine.
I'm talking
forever.
About, did you know in Los Angeles how many people were repping Golden State Warriors?
None.
5 years ago.
None.
Al Madrigal, and that is the only one I know.
It was San Francisco guys, dude.
Can we talk about Luke Walton being the new, I think he will be the new, next Phil Jackson.
I'm not saying
people are saying that.
Just like
you're not the first person I've heard say that.
That middle, that like mid-range big white guy played in the NBA. Kind of, he got folded
into
the Knicks.
Got rings.
Got got folded into the Knicks coaching staff under a really great coach. Boom. Next thing you know, Luke Walton is going to wind up being Phil Jackson.
The whole key is, does he use Phil Jackson's way of operating where he only goes to teams
that already are stacked,
that are good? Phil Jackson never, this is Phil Jackson's first reclamation project with the Knicks. He really didn't, and he's doing well with it. He needs to
Porzingis is the fucking man.
He's great. He's
get
great.
Get rid of Carmelo.
They need to get rid of Carmelo.
They've needed to get rid of, he's not. He's not whatever anyone
Where's an ideal place for him to go?
Who, Luke Walton?
No.
Carmelo.
He needs to go somewhere, Clippers, maybe.
Bulls?
No, because the problem with the Bulls is, like, Derrick Rose isn't the player he used to be. You need a dominant one where he comes in and realizes he's the second banana.
That's what I was actually going to say. Houston or down
Houston
in Dallas.
Would be worse, dude. James Harden needs to go somewhere again where he's the second These guys are great players who need to be second bananas. They need to have a guy like Chris Paul or LeBron James who are dominant, who like, no, this is how we're doing it. You need to go here. Yeah. You need to do this. You know, I think the Clippers are great. I think Blake Griffin's that guy. I think he's a number two, with a Chris Paul being a number one, who can get you where you got to go. You got to have a dominant person who tells these guys where they got to go and how they got to do it.
I feel like a lot of times, like in the last
Wizards would be good. John Wall just
that's interesting. Yeah.
That wouldn't be that bad. You got to have a guy who puts them in the place. You can't get Carmelo Anthony 20 seconds into the clock, the ball, and he just dribbles and dribbles and dribbles.
Well, the guys like the Carmelos and he needs to, you know, all those guys like Pierce late in his career, you know, him becoming this role-playing kind of player. Ray Allen did it and that guy. Vince Carter, perfect example. This explosive guy who figured out a way to stick around, Grant Hill, stick around in the NBA. And, like, Carmelo, you're not too far from that. You
the
know
best
what I mean?
It's just, Vince Carter, Vince Carter in Toronto was explosive for the watch, the teams that he was on was on those New Jersey teams where he would just – kid would just tell him in the right – and what they would do is go – they would do ice box. Basically, when they were up with like 5 minutes ago, just give Vince Carter the ball and let Vince Carter go, and no way could stop him. He'd either take it to the hole or get fouled, and he'd shoot foul shots. That's what you need. You need a point – you know where he might want to go? That would be great. He'll never agree to it because it's too small of a market. The Portland Trailblazers. Damian Lillard is a fucking monster.
Poor Damian Lillard to be in. He'll never get the All-Star recognition because you have to contend with Steph Curry, Chris Paul, all of these great. Westbrook, all of these great point guards out of the West. And you are. I mean, he's a top.
What about Carmelo in New Orleans?
That's not bad at all.
You know that young team and you get him down there?
Get Davis.
Hey, you know what's so funny? If I was this
guy. How great is he?
Who?
Davis.
Anthony.
He's got
Davis.
Enough money that you think he could have two eyebrows.
Yeah, yeah. What's so funny?
He's hideous, bro.
But by the way, he's 21, 22. He's a lot like Kyrie Irving is that they still have boy bodies. They have boy bodies. They're not men yet. We think, okay, you're old enough to vote and you're old enough to go to war. But really, they haven't hit their stride, which is...
He has a boy body, but he has a 90-year-old man eyebrow.
What if
But the point is that's why he's getting hurt all the time. If you look at Steph Curry, he's kind of like that, where Steph Curry came in, even though he came in a little later, but he came in 23, 24, and he kept hurting himself because he's grown men. I mean, we're talking, we've said this before, like the most... physically, genetic, superior human beings on the fucking planet every night are just like, get out of my fucking lane. Oh, where you go, bam, hitting them. And your body can't take that, man, until your body grows into itself and its best form. And now you're hitting your stride. Now your body can take those hits. And that's what's going to happen with Anthony Davis. There's going to come a point where his body will fill out. And then it's going to be nasty.
He looks... like he needs to put weight on.
You know where he would, dude. If they get Ben Simmons down there, that team would be great.
Dude, that guy's got a sweet outside jump shot.
Who
for that dude to be 7'1" or however
big? Davis.
Yeah.
Do you know up until senior year in high school, he was 6'1" and he was fucking a point guard who got the only scholarship he got was Cleveland State, and then he just went, and he just I think it was no up to like 10th or 11th grade he just grew. So he's technically a center with point guard skills.
Ugh, looks like it.
You have to just grow into that body.
But you know who might be better than him and gets no pub at all? Carl Anthony Towns in Minnesota. That kid
That whole team is 2-3 years away from being top in their
Timberwolves.
Yeah, and they're not making, like, they wanted to make the playoffs. No, you need one more good piece.
That's exactly right. Wiggins is great. Everybody, like,
they got Ben Simmons, it's over. Those three guys. On your wings, you got these, and then you don't have to worry about Ricky Rubio, who is the only white European hit a fucking shot.
And they've been trying to ditch him all season.
He might go to New York.
Right up to the trade deadline. He might go to New York. There are rumors of him being gone.
If I'm Carmelo Anthony's agent, I go, dude, do you know how much more you're paying in taxes now playing in New York City? You're paying a city tax, a state tax, and a federal tax. If we move you to somewhere maybe Texas or New Orleans or one of these places that have no state tax or city tax.
Miami.
Miami would be perfect for that.
Let the three of them do their thing. Yep. Yeah.
He would actually be perfect. That would be a good fit for him.
You got guys who have won, could tell him to shut the fuck up, sit right there. He's not the number one guy.
D-Wade always will be the identity of that place. Yeah.
Yeah, and it would be perfect, dude. But D-Wade is falling off hard.
Yeah, I mean, he's old. I was reading, me and a buddy of mine talk about, like, biologically how the reason why your D Roses or your Westbrooks or these guys, like, point guards aren't supposed to be as big as these dudes are and still making fucking slashes and cuts. Their torque is just so insane on their knees.
Especially with the way Rose plays. Right. We've said that on this podcast a lot. He plays violently.
Yeah, and you're too big for that. Like, you know, you're used to these small 6 foot, you know, not these big dudes ripping and slashing.
He plays Barry Sanders style basketball.
Right. I outside of every Clipper, my favorite player is Russell Westbrook. I love watching that guy play.
It was great to see last season and just watch him just come into his own, dominate.
But he's also done really well this year, where it's like, okay, Billy Donovan's been like, dude, we saw what happens when you take over. We didn't make the playoffs. You got to make the playoffs. You got to get everybody else involved. Yeah. Now, Sam Presti, GM, I think he's the best GM in NBA. That's just my personal opinion. You got these huge guys who can't score. Those days are done. Unless they're DeAndre Jordan, who I think is a dinosaur in his game too, his style of play.
Yeah, yeah.
You got
Ben Wallace. He's that so old Ben fun Wallace. To
watch. He's great though, dude.
DeAndre is so fun to watch.
I guess Draymond is like the evolution of that. Like a Draymond Green still put up points and do that. But
unbelievable how that guy is like, you're like, okay, this is a little fluky. He's just benefiting. Would he be this good on another team? I think he would, dude. Yeah. I mean, he was throwing up some and this is my thing about the Golden State Warriors. They were the most lucky team you'll ever meet. And they earned everything they got.
How many half-court shots can one team hit in a season?
No, but how many of that? Dude, you look at this run they're going on. No major real injuries. And the one that happened actually helped the team. Like either Andrew Bogut or David Lee going down. So they had to put Draymond Green
in. Bogut's one of my least favorite people in the NBA.
I hate all the white guys.
The
Golden State Warriors. But I mean, like, from every draft pick they make works out.
Yeah. And then it's just like, like Andre Iguodala gets, the Olympian Andre Iguodala gets to come in and play when somebody's tired. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's like, so we're like, do you take Kevin Durant if he wants to come to you? You got some money, but you're going to have to move some people. Like, why are you going to fuck with this chemistry?
Hell no.
If I was Golden State, I would not make a run at him. If everybody's coming back and everybody's healthy and it's like they're probably going to set a record for most wins in a season, it's exactly like you're saying. Why tinker with that?
You send people out and then you get this kid and then you don't know if he can be third. Who becomes third banana?
You send Dwight Howard to the Lakers and it just fucking turns to shit and he has the worst season.
Well, that's because nobody wants to play with Kobe. Right, everybody that goes there has like three practices.
Before it started.
Has three practices with them and they're like, fuck, man, this is nothing like I thought it was going to be.
Right.
This is going to fucking suck playing with this asshole.
Yeah.
All this talking shit to me in a fucking practice.
I love this fake parade of love for Kobe that's coming out.
Oh, this last. Well, I'm so happy that it's coming in the worst season anyone could ever have had.
That's called karma.
That's beautiful.
You know, Byron Scott could be the worst. I'm convinced that these guys are so evil that they sacrifice their own. This whole thing was just like, we got to get Kobe out of here. Who can we get in there that can eat these losses? Because we need this draft pick, and we need to be bad. And who can we bring in that Kobe will be cool with that will fuck it off? And no other than we sacrifice our own Byron Allen. What's his last name?
Scott.
Byron Scott. I mean, dude, Byron Scott, you got to realize – it was under his watch that Anthony Bennett came from UNLV as the number one pick and completely flamed out because he could be the worst guy to have as a coach with a top five pick. You don't want this guy coaching your team if you're shit and you're bringing in some high-end young talent because this guy comes back from the day where you could yell at millionaires.
Right, right.
You can't do it anymore.
They almost got, because when they hired Scott as a coach, a lot of people don't know that. But right before that, before they hired him, they were going to have, as Kobe's last coach, Dustin Diamond from Saved by the Bell fame. But then he got in all that trouble and, like, went to jail. But, yeah.
He's in jail.
He was. But Screech was going to – they were going to, like, you know what? Maybe we could have Screech do it. Who do you think is the – and this is a serious question. I know Sam's going to go nuts with this, but I really do mean it. Because I have feelings for somebody, and that somebody is J.J. Redick. Who do you think is the best-looking guy in the NBA? I really think J.J. Redick, I might have feelings for him, especially now that he's sleeved up.
It's amazing how many straight guys now talk about openly being cool with sucking another man.
I'm not talking about sucking him. I'm just saying I think he's a fucking good-looking
guy.
There's
this good-looking guy. This black guy came to this comedy club, to the Punchline, and all the comics were like, you know, I'm straight, but that guy's so good. I'd suck his dick. I'm like, dude, it's so fucking.
He was just a fan, just like an audience member.
Came up and he looked like Seal minus the fucking golf divots in the face.
It looked like Seal that didn't wash his face with a Brillo pad.
Yeah.
It's hard for me because nobody will ever be better looking than Rick Fox.
Okay, I'll accept.
All time.
Rick Fox is a good-looking guy.
Good-looking guy.
Yeah.
You know who else?
He ain't no J.J. Redick, though.
Kyle Cover is a good-looking dude. He kind of looks
Cover's
like,
good-looking.
Yeah, Cover's
what's
good
his face?
For sure.
From Two and a Half Men.
Yeah.
Kyle Kutcher.
A weirder version, a jock version of him. Who else is
Ashton
a good-looking guy? Who else is a good-looking guy?
That's
Blake Griffin's a good-looking dude.
You know what? I used to think he wasn't. Like, when he was a rookie and when he was at Oklahoma, I'm like, man, that's a fucking... And now he's really coming to his own.
Yeah.
He's very fashionable.
Yeah.
Chris Paul's good looking.
Does this ever come up?
Kobe's a good looking guy.
Who?
I've seen him in person, Kobe. You're like, if my girlfriend called me and was like, Kobe wants to fuck him, you know how this is going to end. Can I still come home?
Has anyone ever brought up on this podcast, have you guys ever seen, and this is why... I believe he is good. Have you guys ever seen Klay Thompson's wife?
No, he doesn't.
Klay Thompson?
Have a wife.
Or his girlfriend?
Yeah. Oh, she's an Instagram model.
I'm going to look her up right now.
Yeah, please keep talking.
She's smoking hot.
It's beyond that, dude. She's the baddest white chick I've ever seen.
No shit.
Just look it up.
But you see, she went nuts on him.
No.
Because he didn't want to marry her, and he's like, girl, I want you to be my baby's mama, which is the big thing they tell them. They're like, why have you put rings on fingers, she said. Now you just want me to have your kid?
You don't have to be the best player on – you can let Steph be the best player on any team when your wife looks like
Steph's
that.
Mom is hotter than Steph's wife.
Imagine the two of them going out on a – hey, you want a double date? Steph's like, get the fuck
out of my face.
Do
you know who's fucking hot? We talked
about
it. Dude, siphon through. Wait till you see the pants
What
ones.
Is it? Read the Instagram so our listeners can know what you're looking
at. Klay Thompson's girlfriend.
What's
her
name?
Is – what does it say here? Because I'm just on images
I'm
here.
Suddenly missing Frank.
Hang
Let's go, Stat Boy. Hey, Aaron, whose NBA dick do you want to suck? Be honest. Be honest, Aaron. Get that Midwest mentality out. Whose fucking ball sack do you want to drain? God damn it, Aaron. You're so old school. Fucking Neanderthal.
Baddest white chick I've ever
65?
seen.
You white piece
Hannah,
of shit.
Her name is Hannah. What? And Jesus
Christ. Would you put up 37? Would you put up 37 and a quarter for that? Would you just be like, I'll throw the ball?
Hannah Stocking is her name.
Oh, yeah. I've seen her. She is stunning.
Wow, look at those hips. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, she got black chick ass.
She got, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's what she, that's
white
exactly
girl,
what she has.
Black chick ass. Yeah. I mean, dude, it's gotten to the point where chicks so hot, you go, that's NBA pussy. Like, the NBA players get the hottest of the pussy. Like, the baseball players get the hottest girls to marry. Like, basketball players get the hottest chicks you want to fucking get pregnant.
NFL players get stuck with their college girlfriend.
Yeah, what is that?
And then they have nine other, because what they do is they're the hottest guy, and or not hot, like attractive, but like the
loved
big
it.
Guy on
campus
right. of high school, and then in college, so they get the like the hottest chick at Iowa State, and their entire relationship, hey baby, when I go pro, it's me and you, girl.
It's me and you forever.
All that pillow talk, and they fucking take it dead serious. And then they get, and then they go to the fucking LA Rams, and they're like, wow, these are what girls are really look like? And they're stuck with a fucking Iowa 8, which is a Hollywood 6.
Yeah, and that's what they're praying to get, their wives are praying they get drafted up in like Minnesota, Buffalo or something like that.
I don't care where you go, baby. I'm just going to support you.
What about LeSean McCoy?
Oh, about beat up cops?
Yeah, dude.
And now they're not going to charge him?
If you,
and you wonder why these guys are assholes.
Now, why didn't,
No, I thought they're, oh, is it official that they're not going to charge him?
Well, they haven't yet. Yeah, it's been like 3 or 4 weeks.
Well, it happened in Philly, so I was like, Philly's going to get him.
I think they liked him.
They did like him.
It wasn't his fault.
It wasn't his fault.
It wasn't his fault.
Dude, how much did that guy fuck that whole program up?
Who? Chip Kelly?
Chip Kelly went to the Eagles, and in 3 years, destroyed a franchise.
Why did you get rid of Nick Foles? I'm not saying he did great. He didn't do great on the Rams.
He was trying to get Marcus Mariota. He thought that Tennessee would want Sam Bradford.
Yeah, but he could have gone to Tennessee and coached him there. I don't know. But maybe he couldn't have. I don't know. But
And now he goes to the Niners, and I'm fine with it, but I think he's going to do the same thing at the Niners.
He loves Kaepernick.
He's not GM. He can't do that.
Good.
I mean,
the GM coach thing never works.
Does it?
It's like being...
Ever?
I always say this. Being a coach and a GM is like being a brain surgeon and a high-end lawyer also. You're going to be like half doing this and half doing that. Just right. Do whatever your job is.
Yeah, right.
Be a brain surgeon, and when you need a lawyer, hire one.
It's just weird. It's like to be able to coach talent isn't necessarily the same skill as being able to analyze.
I mean, what's
talent.
His name?
Yep. Yep.
Soul Man. Who's that guy? The ESPN 30 for the...
Sonny Vieira?
Yeah, yes. Sonny Vieira. Dude, not a coach. Just saw talent. It's just a whole nother muscle. It's a whole nother bone. You can't...
Well, also, a lot of these guys, player coaches, I think there's something about players that are a lot like stand-up comics, where, like, old comics get... threatened by young comics. And I still this day think that's what Michael Jordan's biggest problem is. He sees young talent and he's got such an ego.
Go about it.
He can only draft people he's not threatened by.
What was his question?
Yeah, dude, look at his draft picks. They're all white guys.
Did you hear his interview when they were like, what when you look at your team, what do you think? And he goes, it makes me so upset I can't go down there and help. I can't go down there and put the game on my back. And it's just like, you shouldn't.
Yeah.
It's not about you, bro. Like,
you should be drafting the guy who can do that and not draft the guy who's fucking, you know, running for, you know, you're not drafting guys that you think would be a great compliment player on your Bulls team. And that's what he does. It's like they fucking were offered the house for their pick this year. And they, I mean, we are talking all of Boston's draft picks, including the Brooklyn Nets draft pick, which is unprotected, most likely would be a top five in a thing where everyone's trying to get Ben Simmons, and they just wanted to be able to draft Winslow, who was coming out of Duke, and he said no so he could get Frank Kaminsky, who's at best a role player. Everybody knew that, him coming in, a role player in the NBA.
He's a terrible GM.
He's just terrible, dude.
Always has been, I thought.
It's just like,
and I love me some Michael Jordan.
But you're always going to be like, dude, you have too much of an ego. Who's going to tell Michael Jordan that? Michael, you have an ego.
All-time favorite.
You can do anything you want. You can do whatever the fuck you want. Just the draft period, leave us alone. Go bang your hot wife. Go golf. Go do something. Just
gamble on. Yeah.
Yeah. Gamble away. Just for this month. Don't talk to us. Yep. This is it. Take a month off.
Yep.
Enjoy your time.
All-time favorite athlete is probably Jordan. Jordan and Deion Sanders.
Mine's Jerry Rice.
I respect that. All-time favorite athlete, I probably would have to.
You're a Bo Jackson lover.
I love Bo Jackson. I mean, I love early Mike Tyson. I love early Mike Tyson. Love Patrick Ewing. I mean, I love these guys.
I love Reggie. I love Reggie Miller, man. Just
Reggie
that,
was
yeah,
great,
Reggie
too.
Was so great.
I love Marcus Allen. I love Marcus Allen. I love me some Marcus Allen.
Yeah.
But Patrick Ewing's probably my favorite. Who do you like, Aaron? Whose dick do you want to suck?
Walter Payton.
Walter Payton.
Ah, that's a great one.
That's a good one.
Oh, who can forget one of my favorites of all time? Lawrence Taylor. Dude. When was the last time you tuned in? It has to be now. J.J. Watt. Was the last time you tuned in to watch a defensive player play?
Oh, Deion Sanders.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Loved him.
But Leon Mitt, Lawrence Taylor was right up there. You're like, you know, dude, I'm going to watch Lawrence Taylor kill this motherfucker.
I mean,
And murdered two people.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, don't forget about that.
Yeah, you know he literally, I'm going to kill you, and I just might because I've done it before.
Yep. I saw a guy get murdered the other night. Did I tell you this?
What?
Did we talk about this?
I think he would remember if you.
Yeah.
Well, I told a bunch of people, but you were, that's right, you were on the road. I didn't tell you. Dude, I'm at Ryan Richter's place with the prime rib on Wednesday. I'm going to Tiana's birthday party afterwards. So I'm there watching basketball. I got like 2 hours to kill. So I'm eating this all you can eat prime rib thing they have every Wednesday. I go across the street at Las Palmas in Hollywood. So north side of the street, I cross the street. Get a pack of cigarettes, call an Uber. I'm waiting for my Uber to go to Tiana's birthday party. So across on Las Palmas, there's these two guys. It looks like they're kind of play fighting or whatever. And I'm like, what those guys are doing. I'm literally watching them. Guy comes, he starts, takes one step into the street, kind of staggering.
Oh.
I think the guy's drunk. Takes one step in the street and just face plants right into the crosswalk. Hits the ground so hard, like if you handcuffed you behind your back and handcuff your feet, and I just push you into the street. I hear his head bounce, and I'm like, oh shit, I think this guy's drunk as fuck. So across the street, and I'm standing over this guy because any car that turns is just, it's got like a 25-year-old black male speed bump is what this guy would be. So I'm kind of standing over the guy, like flagging down cars, like, hang on. So his buddy comes over. I'm like, give me your shirt. So I put his shirt under his head. Dude, pouring blood out of this guy's head. So the fucking cops show up pretty quick. They're looking at him, and they're like, right. And at this point in time, I noticed by his belt, like a faucet, like out of the side. I'm like,
oh
shit.
Stabbed?
So the cops look up his shit. Fucking couple. Sips. Just got stabbed.
Did you see who did it?
From a fucking distance, my eyes aren't that great.
Oh,
so
my
I got to get in this guy's car, fill out a fucking police report, say everything that I fucking saw. His buddy is like, yeah, man, that's like over, like this whole area right here is like a big coke corner now. And he owed him
$20. $20, you killed somebody.
So then Friday, I'm like, so all day Thursday, I'm like, God, man, whoa. I hope that fucking guy didn't die. So I just Google Hollywood and Los Palmas stabbing and the date.
Yeah.
And dude died. Died on the way to the hospital. The guy dies.
Fuck.
And it said when the police showed up, there was a guy administering first aid. I wasn't administering first aid. I was trying not to get his blood on my hands. Yeah. I put his friend's shirt under his head. And the article said I was administering first aid.
Well, yay!
Take it.
That's
dude,
sad.
Over 20. I was the thing over a little bit of dollars.
I gotta pee.
How do you think Geno Smith wishes he paid $200 and not have his jaw broken?
And lost his job.
Lost his job. Dude, he got punched out of the NFL.
He straight up got punched out of the NFL. What was that, $200, right?
$200. Punched out of the
NFL.
Dude,
now they're trying to re-sign Fitzpatrick.
Oh,
they
want him. Why wouldn't you? He had the best season.
In the Jets history.
Yeah.
In Jets history,
since
that was
what,
the best.
Testaverde?
No, most touchdowns.
Yeah.
Passing for a Jets quarterback ever. And that goes all the way back to fucking Namath. That's like everybody. Which was a surprising stat.
Yeah.
That, you're like,
well,
wow,
I
really?
Mean, when you think about it, since Namath, have the Jets been...
I mean, it's been a carousel of fucking right. Ken O'Brien's to, I mean, they've had
they had
a
Boomer, right? For
Boomer Esiason, you know.
Favre? Remember that Favre experiment?
Favre for a year or two, 1 year?
Then the dick pic scandal.
That's right.
Popped off.
That's right.
He wound up in Minnesota.
We had her on the show.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. She's a comic in L.A.
No.
100%. 100%. I'll try to think of her name. You know her. You guaranteed you know her I'll think of her name. Sam will know her name because he's good friends with her. Couldn't talk about it, though.
Right. No.
Do you remember her name?
No.
Hot. Hot. Not a great comic.
Don't blame him.
You don't blame him.
Don't blame him.
Is he married?
Yeah.
Oh, that's the whole thing.
Yeah, that was the whole thing.
But it's like, you know, and I feel bad for these NFL guys and any guy because when it comes to women and pussy, we're stupid.
Stupid.
We're suckers. A hot girl automatically makes us feel like we're 13 again, no matter if you're rich and famous or you're a famous athlete. And they're parading this chick with these giant fake tits, some hot fucking chick from Florida State. And she was, and they're parading her around these NFL athletes, and they're just, you know, Jen Sturger, that's her name, Jen Sturger.
Yeah.
Oh,
you know, so they, if you want your NFL players, if I'm an NFL GM or like hiring people, I go, okay, that fucking retarded guy with the fucking, you know, unibrow. You're going to be the equipment manager.
Yeah, yeah.
This fucking guy with Down syndrome, you're going to be the one interviewing these players. Otherwise, she's smoking hot with giant fake tits. She's tan. And we're like, yeah, you interview all the players after every practice. Hi, by the way.
Do you know why they do that? Do you know why they do that? Why they have women do that? For a couple reasons. One.
They have to.
Well, they have to because all they want
can
is
we put. Can we put Pam Oliver in a booth, please? It's been 20 years. Can we get Pam Oliver up the field?
Trying to get women.
That veneer's starting to crack.
Yeah, they're starting to put women talk sports, but what they don't understand is that men don't want to hear their wives all the time, and it's just the truth. It's just the truth, dude. Guys don't want to hear fucking their wives talking sports. They just don't. They don't fucking want it. They don't want your girl. It's like. Women can have their own thing where you have a bunch of girls cacking about fucking shit. But when it comes to guys, girls cannot. You gotta have a girl in there.
I'll say something very sexist, but it's just the way my brain works. It's just the way I think. When I see some of these hot chicks on the NFL sideline interviewing a player, my mind goes, she may as well say this. Excuse me, Tom Brady, here's a question I was told to ask you by somebody who knows what they're talking about.
Well, because again, it's like, how do you get women into a sport where they're not physically can't play the sport is one. And two, you can send a hot chick to go talk to who's the most cranky coach out there? Bill Belichick, right? Coughlin, right?
Belichick.
You send a hot chick to her, he's not going to tee off on them. He's not going to be like, get angry with them. He's going to answer it because he's an old man who loves young snatch. Dude, look at this town, dude. This town loves young girls because all these old creepy guys with all the money just want to be surrounded by young snatch. And they just, it's like, I'm not going to say, but there's certain comics I know who are getting up in their age who just overblow young female comic talent. They're, oh, great. She's great. It's like, you're an old man who just wants to sniff that asshole.
Well, yeah. I'm going to say this. She can't. No, there's no comment. I would listen to any female commentator like a Pam Oliver or somebody.
I like Pam Oliver.
Over
Joe Buck and Troy Aikman. I can't.
Chris Collinsworth is the worst.
I can't.
I cannot stand Chris Collinsworth and his cocky little fucking. And he'll be wrong about something and then he'll just fucking. You know, I don't.
I'd be cocky too. If I was the number one show on television.
I would not run. If, you know, this is going to be a stupid, you know, third and five. I would absolutely not run. This is a throwing down and they run 12 yard gain. That's exactly what I would have done. I think that was a smart thing. Run the draw. I would have done that. It's like, you're just wrong.
Sunday Night Football is the number one show on
television. Will be. That you want to know
over
why?
Monday Night?
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's cable. It's cable
and,
now.
Sunday Night Football was strictly done by the NFL to fuck ESPN. All these channels, they hate ESPN. They just hate them
because ESPN sucks.
ESPN's dying, dude.
It should. They've done it to themselves.
Yes.
You did it to yourselves. You had it right. It's just like the it's just like what we're saying, like why the Golden State should not pick up Kevin Durant. You got it right. Don't tinker with it too much. But they're like, hey, man, now that Disney and ABC bought it, we got to get girls in. We got to get every ethnicity. We got to do all these different stories about every time a retarded kid shoots 17 three-pointers and finally hits one, and it's this tear-jerking story. I just want to know if the Cubs won or lost.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I don't need some goddamn dramatic story that's catered to every person in my household other than me.
Yep, I'm with you, dude. The biggest thing is that it's not even ESPN's fault. It's Disney's fault. This president who runs Disney before just said, basically, he only gives a fuck about the female dollar. That's why you're seeing all these female action hero shows coming up, because it's all about catering to the female dollar, dude.
Then it's fine. Then I'll go to Bleacher Report. I'll watch Fox Sports. I'll watch all these other things that give me what I want as a sports fan. Highlights, the scores, who's playing tomorrow, who's pitching tomorrow, who's injured, what are the big sporting stories of the day.
Yep. And also the truth is that
I love the 30 for 30.
Everybody. Hey, we're not talking about 30 for 30, though, because that's just amazing.
I love it.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the people who buy the ad space. They tell them what they want. And they don't care whether it ruins everything.
But, I mean, name anything that stays pure in any way like that. I mean,
nothing, we're talking about a channel that was so dominant that is now hemorrhaging. They've lost almost 4 million subscribers to their cable package. And they're all trying to explain it off. It's like MTV, right? And nobody watches MTV. Why? Because you've just niched it to this, like,
reality, interracial,
bisexual crowd that, you know, and that's not everybody. I don't think anyone has a problem with that demographic. But you're all of your programming is geared towards a small demographic that these fucking marketers want to get to because they have all this disposable income. And you're like, oh, I don't want to watch that. It caters nothing to me, so I don't want to watch it anymore.
And even for me, like which I love too. I've seen all of them. I think they're great. To me, that's a Netflix show. I don't even have to go to ESPN to watch them. I go, oh, cool, they're all on Netflix? Cool, then fuck you, ESPN. I'm not even going to watch your fucking commercials, period.
What does drive me nuts is I can't get any football lives unless you watch them the day they air. I love those guys.
They're not on NFL.com?
No.
Oh, interesting. Because those are great, too.
They're amazing. I've been trying to watch this Jerome Bettis one for fucking ever, and I can't watch it.
Yeah. That's weird. I'm surprised they're not on...
I'm a sucker for any sports, or
Netflix.
I'm a
sucker. I love
anything from the 80s or 90s. About how great those sports teams were.
Yeah.
Before
the
money.
Four falls of the Buffalo Bills should be.
I just watched that one again. I just watched that one again. I'll talk about that. You see that one, the Buffalo Bills ones.
Yes.
One, how great are all of those guys? How great is Norwood? What a tear-jerking moment when those Bills fans were calling for him to come out after he missed that kick. You're like, man, what a great sports fan base the Buffalo Bills fans are. I was blown
away.
They're
good people. I would be devastated, even though, you know, the Bills are one
That's a team that should never leave.
Never leave, dude. If it leaves that region, it's going to be devastating. The problem with the Bills is that the owners didn't market them right to the rest of New York State. Like, where I'm from is Cortland.
Well, they're pitching to Canada, right? Canada's who they
don't do it. You're right, but don't do it.
Yeah. Don't move it to Canada. I'm from Cortland, New York. Which
558.
4 hours away from Buffalo. Everybody in my hometown is either Jets or Giants fans. And it's like a 7-hour drive to New York. Mm. Buffalo should be doing stuff in that area. You were like, the people in upstate New York relate way more to Buffalo than they do to New York City. It's like two different states.
Well, isn't the Jets camp near your town?
Since, and that's why the Jets are now off my list of teams.
I think that's where a lot of people became fans, Jets in that area.
No, because that was only recently. That's during the Rex Ryan years.
Oh, I thought that was like childhood.
No. Why does the Rex just bring Buffalo back down? Dude?
I would love it. And that's what they should do.
Rex Ryan.
No, Rex Ryan.
I
like Rex Ryan. He needs a quarterback. You need a quarterback, dude.
All right, here's.
He's all in on Tyrod Taylor too. He's all in.
I'm not sold on that guy.
He likes him.
He had the chance to go to Atlanta. That was the perfect fit for that dude. Atlanta was
the
perfect
Falcons
for Rex. To have Rex Ryan?
Yeah, they went hard after Rex Ryan, and I was like, great, you have a built-in quarterback wide receiver combination that's already set.
Mm-hmm.
Go. And then you build the defense.
Yep.
What are you doing? And then he went in the Buffalo. Well, A, I'm a Pats fan, which is, you know.
Yeah.
Everybody feels their way about them. But I especially hate Rex Ryan.
I bet.
Big time.
And then he stayed in the division.
And that makes me hate him even more because he turned down what looked like a better opportunity. What would have been a better fit just to say fuck you to Bill Belichick.
Yep.
That's what he really
Maybe
did.
Maybe he likes women in Buffalo's feet more than Atlanta feet. I love Atlanta, dude. Atlanta, you go to Atlanta, you're like, wow, this is a next level hot black women. Like, the women are so hot in Atlanta, dude. Yep. They're so hot.
Because it's like
you just go
rich,
to the airport, you got, God damn, that's
like
an ass.
Rich, it's rich black yuppie money.
I love it,
You
dude.
Know what I mean? So, like, I the women watch. Are, like, hot, like... Good
I didn't
genes
know you were
breeding.
A fucking Falcons fan.
Big time, yeah. Huge Falcons fan. Dude, long time.
Julio Jones is not human.
Not human. He isn't. He really isn't. And everyone's like, oh, Antonio Brown's the best receiver in the NFL, which he's up there. And everyone talks about Beckham, and he's good. But Julio Jones has every intangible athletically.
Julio Jones looks like if an NBA player played the NFL. That's what those wide receivers remind me of.
Also, scoring MMA forward. Fighter, like a fucking really fucking cut up MMA fighter. He's ripped. He's fast.
It's insane.
By the way, NFL Combine starts today.
Yeah.
And here's what's awesome, and it'll really probably happen towards the weekend when they're doing because it's like offensive linemen and shit today. When you get to the receivers and the DBs, Adidas is giving.
Oh yeah, I saw that.
Anybody who breaks Chris Johnson's record of the 40, which is 4.28, Deion ran a 4.29. Those are the two fastest times ever clocked officially at the Combine. Anybody breaks a 4.28 wearing Adidas shoes, $1 million cash.
Straight cash.
Even if
brilliant.
You don't get drafted by the NFL, even if you don't, you go sixth round, whatever.
Can I say something?
Millionaire.
The best quarterback coming out, and nobody is saying it, is Paxton Lynch out of Memphis.
What do you mean nobody's? Oh.
No, oh, they're all saying it's that Joff or what? Golf or whatever his name.
Right.
And then
he's a first-round pick.
That kid from, Appalachian State or whatever.
North Dakota State, yeah.
And then this kid, Lynch, is 6'7", got an arm, beat high-end SEC talent.
He's a first-rounder. I mean,
yeah, but he's going to go third. Everyone has him going third. I'm telling you, he's the best quarterback in this draft. You heard it here first.
You heard it here first.
So who do you guys, we got to wrap it up. Who do you guys want your team to draft? Who are you looking for? What position would you like the Pats to get? Falcons, and then I'll do Raiders.
I would love, not that, we just need a fucking Raider. We need a big receiver.
You do.
We just need a big, solid receiver. We need a Sammy Watkins. We need not so much a Beckham, but we need a Julio. I was hoping
Kelvin Johnson would go to you guys.
You don't understand how that you're. I'm not kidding. I was like,
he would be perfect there. That's interesting.
Not be perfect. You
I
guys
can't
should,
believe no one's
You guys don't have
about
a number
that.
One pick, but you should give up something for him because that's when you guys are the best. When you have that. Elite wide in the court, where just the great one.
Oh,
of the greatest.
He would love it there too.
Who do you want?
I
guess. I mean, we're at 17 pass rusher, and I hate to say it, but
you need one.
3-4 years in a row, we've been saying that. J.J. Watt had 2 more sacks than the Atlanta Falcons last year. Last in the NFL again.
That kid
Our
from
first pick pass rusher from Clemson, dead last in the NFL again in pass rush. I can't believe it.
How about you want that kid from Ole Miss who smoked that synthetic meth?
No, I want a defensive end. Maybe Shaq Thompson from which would be interesting from Clemson because we would have their best defensive end last year and then their best defensive end this year. So half our defensive line would be from Clemson. 3 out of our 4 defensive linemen would be from
Clemson.
I
want a cornerback. I really want a cornerback.
You need one.
For the Raiders. A nice cornerback, and then we sign a
top
Dude,
your team is on its way, man.
They like, sure are.
They really the fuck are. I mean,
I'm so excited to finally get to see Raider games.
You're young in the right places.
And I wish they started. Latavius Murray. Somebody needs to coach Latavius Murray or set it up the way you would coach like an Adrian. He has that Adrian Peterson body type, speed, all that stuff. I don't know why.
We need some linemen too.
Yeah, he performed way lower than I thought he would. But I also feel like, is the running back position over? Is it over?
No, I think. And
I hear you guys
before,
getting that Henry guy. I've read mock drafts where you guys
get
the.
Yeah, from Denver?
No, the Heisman Trophy winner. The running back from, I don't want him. I wouldn't either.
I don't want him.
Not with the first pick.
I don't want him, dude.
Not with the first rounder.
No, we don't need him. And, dude, those running backs from Alabama, their linemen are always way better.
Where are you guys at? Like 14, 15?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
It was a couple ahead of me. It took Ingram 7 years to get on, and then Trent Richardson's out.
Yeah. Hey, Aaron, are you going to follow the Rams to L.A.?
No.
You're done with them.
Are you mad?
I've never been a Rams
fan. You're not a Rams fan.
What are you? Are you any fan?
No.
Pick a team, dude. You're on a sports podcast, goddammit.
And that concludes baseball talk.
That includes baseball. Sorry, I know it started. I'm really resisting getting into baseball already. I just wanted to go into something. We got 2 minutes left. I wanted to, I don't know how many people actually listen to the podcast all the way through. If you do, we do appreciate it. I wanted to talk real quick about last week's episode, and
it was hilarious.
You know what I learned? We'll never have four people on the show again. It's three is the most.
I mean, when do we have four on?
I mean, but I'm just saying, it's just like even on my other podcasts, it's like I just realized four's too many people. It's just too many people.
I mean, we had four on for 10 minutes until you left.
Right, but I only got through the beginning part. It was just. Joe was going through some shit. I love Joe Bartnick. He's a good friend. I know he really upset like our three black listeners who we love to death.
Which I thought we only had Anthony Johnson, the commish of the year.
Yeah.
Found out we had two other black listeners.
So we got three black listeners. And I
was surprised by that.
And they didn't appreciate, and I understand it. And, you know, it's like I don't want to get in the case of ever saying sorry on the show because that's not this show. This show is a place where everybody can have fun with everybody, crap on each other, give each other shit, and just know it's from a place of love, you know? And it's just like I felt like a lot of people thought he was really serious about a lot of stuff he's saying, and I'm not saying he's not. But, you know, if you did enjoy, I'm going to say I feel bad. I feel bad. Just know that's not our intentions. This is a sports podcast that we just want to have a lot of fun with. And, you know, sorry last week was a little crazy. And, you know, I had to talk with Joe, and he's kind of going through some stuff, and he's a good guy. And that's not, you know, Joe Bartnick's talk shit, and it's usually funny. I think he was just in a weird place, and that's kind of all I got to say. And I'm just so sorry. Just know that last week was an anomaly. It won't happen again. I feel like our show is in a really great place, and we're really cooking with gas, and we'd love to have you guys come by and, you know, and still be a part of our family and all that stuff. And so that's all I want to say. Anything? Any last thoughts?
Consider it sucked.
All right.
Consider it sucked.
Well, anything last, Bill?
I'll kick off the potential. I want to say goodbye to Big Poppy this next year. It'll be David Ortiz's last year as a Red Sox. And I just want to say this for somebody who came into the league and got lost in Minnesota and then carved out an entire career in the major leagues to potentially go down as one of the greatest DHs of all time. I fucking love that guy, and it's going to be sad to see him hang up.
I wish the National League would get a DH, and that's my final thoughts on that. We'll see you next week. Should be great. We appreciate everything. Again, get ready for the Rabble.TV UFC 196 simulcast. Listen to Rogan. Listen to us. It's going to be great. Guys, we love you. Thanks for listening, Punch Drunk fans, and we'll see you next week. Take care.